Right, so I think we're all ready to go. Thank you, Nick. And welcome along to the people in the hall, and also welcome along to our internet viewers. This is the midweek meditation at the Buddhist Society of West Australia. Again, I'd like to just start by just reminding everybody that the telephone care line is open at the moment. There's people waiting to take your calls up in the care house. So if anybody has a wish to ring up and talk about anything, talk things over, anything that's come up for you that you'd like to discuss, there will be listeners there on the end of the line, and you'll see that telephone number, I think, on the screen at the moment. And the care line again is open Wednesdays, Thursdays and Saturday nights. So, and that's from about 6:30 to 6 o'clock or so, to 6:30 till 9 o'clock Western Australia Standard Time. And I think there's also a little way that you can, I think it's shown on the screen there too, just how you can sort of call on Skype so that it's not costing you money if you're calling from somewhere that's out of the state. So you're very welcome to call the care line. And once again, with these talks that we've been doing on Wednesday night, I very much like to try and bring this idea of listening into the way that we use this night, really, because for the people that have trained to listen, that's all very well, that's one thing, but in the training it is very, very similar to really what we do when we're sitting meditation, because just when you are sitting and watching yourself and being with yourself practice of meditation, we are very much in a way listening to ourselves, listening in deep to get to know ourselves, to get to know just exactly what it is that we're involved in here, just learning more about this human condition, because it is a very complicated situation that we're involved in here. I mean, I always think about this as very mysterious myself, so it is a mystery to me, this whole thing of life. You know, you look out into space and then you can see the wonders that are out there, all the stars and the planets and the galactic clusters and everything like that, and then you coming back here to to this earth and our sun, and the way that we have a moon that goes around us, and we're kind of on this spinning planet that's apparently moving through space. It's all very mysterious event for us, isn't it? And so I always like to reflect on that, because that mystery, very often if you kind of look at it too, it can become quite a bit scary, really. Just, you know, what does it all mean? You know, how come that we're we are kind of on this planet pulled down by gravity to the ground, and yeah, here we are as like creatures of this planet, the way that we eat up its food and we work with the rest of the animals and the plants and the minerals. All of those things are all contained in us, and it is very much a mystery, isn't it? So when you start to think of it from that way, it can get a bit sort of scary, you know, what does all this mean, really? But the practice of meditation, and when we start to sit and just look back onto ourselves, looking into ourselves to look at this human condition and the way that we are kind of involved in this world, involved in this universe, it becomes a very important practice, because when we do this, when we do sit and we make our minds still and start to penetrate into our own minds and just start to notice a little bit about ourselves and just what makes us tick, what makes us the human beings that we are, and why we act the way that we do. All of these things are very much there for us to see. And especially as the mind becomes more still, more focused, more clear, with clarity and with vision, you do start to become more comfortable with the way that it is in this universe. Just this mystery of the universe becomes more of a something that we can just be with. And the more that you can just be with this, the way that this meditation works is that, you know, as the tranquility starts to build up and as the concentration of meditation starts to build up and we become more involved with this present moment that we keep on talking about here, this present moment where really and truly reality is, we're letting go of the past, not trying to bring the past with us into the present moment, and we're also not trying to get involved or try to speculate too much about the future. I mean, we always do this, you know, you can't help but, of course, be involved somewhat with the past and with the future as well, because it's this life is flowing. It's flowing from the past to the future. And really, it's very true that the past has made us who we are now. We are kind of living with our past karma. And there probably is an expectation too that as we move into the future, that this will also, this present moment and what's coming in from the past will be conditioning the way that we are into the future. But in actual fact, what happens when we start to be with this meditation and we start to see deeply into this meditation, as we let go of the past and the future and just come into the present moment, into the stillness of the present moment, we are able then to really just look and notice the conditioning that we've got, what it is that's come from the past that sort of makes us who we are, and what the expectations as we sort of move through the present into the future. We can start to see how our lives are conditioned things. We are conditioned creatures. The same as all of the beings that live on this earth. In fact, all of the universe is in fact this way. This has this conditioned response. And this conditioning is, you know, very, very interesting to look at and to understand. And over the past couple of the past few weeks that we've been doing this on Wednesday nights and just trying to look at this way of listening to ourselves and understanding ourselves a little bit clearer, with a little bit more clarity and precision, I've been talking a lot about mindfulness and just being in this present moment and understanding this present moment, sort of extolling the virtues all the time of just what this present moment really is and just what it can do for us in this way that the way that the Buddha pointed to in being able to understand just what it is that we're doing here, just to notice the reality of the present moment, just what all of that means. And eventually you do get to the point comfortable enough to realise that this universe is pretty good. It's, in fact, it's really in perfect balance, really. You know, the past and the future and all of the dualities that are inside the ideas and the conditionings of the universe, they all in a way balance out to make everything really come into perfection. And it's really never ever moves. The universe never ever really moves from this state of perfection. But what we do notice when we start to look more deeply into our practice, we notice that this conditioning is really something that we're taking on ourselves. There's and the Buddha sort of pointed to this so clearly, just the way that conditioning gets into us and causes us to be the way that we are. We've got this stream of consciousness that's sort of flowing through us all of the time. you start to see as you get more close to the present moments, and you start to get more close to the absolute peace and tranquility of the present moment. You start to notice more and more this flow of consciousness. And I know last week we went over again the Buddha's lists of things, and I was talking last week about the seven factors of enlightenment. And the first factor there is this mindfulness. But the second one is what really I wanted to talk a little bit more about tonight, and the second one is investigation. Investigation. So just how do you do that? Just how is it possible to investigate just what's going on? But you notice that as you start to become more comfortable with your meditation, you start to notice reality only becomes very clear for you when your mind starts to get quite peaceful and clear, when there's a tranquility that can come. And this does come with our meditation. We certainly all, no doubt, have seen that, just as you're sitting and watching how the mind or the whole of your body becomes very tranquil, very peaceful, very relaxed. And the more relaxed and peaceful it becomes, the less tension there is in your body. So your body relaxes deeply, and therefore so can your mind relax. And the mind relaxes more and more deeply. And as this process happens, it allows insight to arise. Insight and wisdom can just naturally arise. But when we are doing this investigation, we don't usually tend to, bring a lot of questions into our meditation, because that's sort of counterproductive for it. What we really work with the meditation to develop the stillness. So really, I think the best way to work with this investigation is really what happens after and before the meditation, when you may be thinking about things. You might have a question that you particularly want to investigate or look at. If you consider that question beforehand, just in a way of discursively thinking about it, but then when you move into the meditation, just to let the meditation happen, let yourself become still and clear and precise, and just and then the questions that come are just sort of taken in, and they're relaxed. Any tensions around the questions are relaxed. And it's usually only after you finish the meditation, when the meditation is finished and you maybe want to look a little bit more, the way that you're sort of being with this investigation becomes more clear. You start to understand a little bit more of the question that you're asking yourself. I mean, we do this sort of very much, I think, it's in the way that we even as human beings go to sleep at night, because that's sort of always been a wonderful thing for myself to do. Just if I've got something to think about or some thing that I want to happen, if I kind of just very in a relaxed way kind of ask that question before you go to sleep, and then just let, but you never, when you're doing this, and the same with the meditation, we never ever do it in a way that you're kind of harassing yourself, harassing your mind. You just kind of, you maybe make sure that the mind knows what you're looking for, what you want to try and work with. But then you just relax and let it be. And then the mind, nine times out of ten, will just take care of it for yourself. The answer will eventually come. It might take a little while to do this, but just like the whole of the Buddha's teachings, though, this is really the whole lot of the teachings is a natural inclination. It's a gentle inclination towards understanding the truth. And this is really the way that the Buddha taught, just to allow yourself to incline gently towards the reality and the truth of the present moment, the truth that's there in the present moment. I mean, we can always sort of think about and use some of the guidance that the Buddha's given us with these things, because, I mean, he has talked about the three characteristics of all things, really, all things, which includes our human condition. And those three characteristics he talked about were, first of all, dukkha. And I think we've all probably been around long enough to have heard about dukkha and know just what that means. It's really just sort of saying that anything that we kind of grab onto, and one of the reasons why we have so much trouble in the world is really because it's essentially because of our relationship with the world, with this perfect world. You know, when our relationship comes under some tension with the world, we're always invoking the dualities that are there inside the world, the dualities that kind of cause this tension, this rubbing. And this is what the Buddha talked about as this dukkha. It's because he's really pointing to the fact that you can never really ever make this world perfect, inside your own body or in the way of living into the world, because we're always kind of involved with the duality of things, with the tension that's there. But in the meditation, we can start to see all of this and start to understand just how we can relax with ourselves, relax with the world, so that this dukkha becomes less, so that we're living our life with less dukkha and more wisdom and insight. We start to understand. And this starts very much to come in line with the second factor of enlightenment, of investigation. So we're developing our mindfulness, being very mindful, and then using the second factor to investigate this situation that we're in, and then the third factor is then learning how to be peaceful, how to be tranquil with all of this, so that you can start then to understand and really start to identify the subtleness of the joy and happiness that can be there in this peacefulness of mind. And again, tonight when we just get into the meditation, I would really like to just take us into that a little bit more, just so that you can start to see that when the mind does just settle and become still, how beautiful it is, just what it's like to have a mind that's contented, that's not sort of trying to get on to grab things, to hold on to things, or in the opposite vein of that, in the other side of this duality, the duality of grabbing onto things, the opposite of that is to sort of start pushing things away, trying to be averse to things, not wanting this, don't want that. But as those two sides of the coin start to dissipate, there's just contentment that's left. And then, of course, we can also look at our energy when we're doing this, just looking at the way that our bodies are, whether we're kind of restless and wanting to jump around and sort of move about, or whether or not we can just be content with the restlessness, let the restlessness settle and relax. And then the opposite of that too is sort of working with the way that we get tired and slow and not wanting to slothful, not wanting to be involved, just wanting to just let it all spin out. So and that sort of necessarily usually comes with a lack of awareness, a lack of knowing what you're doing. So as these two parts of this energetic balance start to kind of settle out and balance out, then you start to see this beautiful equanimity that comes in your energy. The energy, Buddha talked about energy quite a lot. It's a factor of the Eightfold Noble Path. It's also in the seven factors of enlightenment, you know, the energy. So you know, working with these things is really very important, as we're sort of sitting with our meditation, and in this way we can start to direct our lives towards the idea of being able to let go, so that we can really start to understand what the Buddha was talking about when he was pointing to this enlightenment, trying to understand just what this means to us in our lives. So there is many ways that this works, but maybe what I might do just now is we might just do a little bit of meditation and perhaps then just talk about it a bit afterwards too, if you like. So we'll just sort of go into this and maybe just see how we go with being still, and just to notice what that feels like as we're really watching in, listening to ourselves, just building up this tranquil energy and this concentration in our minds, and just as we kind of can start to see the balance from the desire of things, wanting to desire things and then wanting to be averse to things, wanting to push things away, and just to allow ourselves to see that contentment. And a good idea, the best way to do this too when we start meditation always is to sort of make sure that we're nicely grounded, because if you ground yourself in reality, that's sort of grounding ourselves into this earth, into this world. You know, you're starting off then from a good place, because that's kind of what the reality is for us now. We do have this human condition. We're not enlightened yet, so the idea is to first of all be where we are, and to ground ourselves into the earth and into the universe. And I've sort of mentioned once or twice too, just in talking about that when we're looking at that, it's very important just to notice that we are really children of this universe. You know, all of the heavy particles and elements that are inside our body, they all come from stars. We are really all made from stars, quite literally. All of this stuff that makes us up is star stuff. We are children of the stars. And we are on this planet that's evolved, and we're kind of living on this planet. So just sort of recognise that. It's a very beautiful, I mean, you know, I suppose in some ways it can be a bit kind of obtuse to sort of think of things in that way, but it's actually very beautiful when you do start looking at it, as we'll sort of do some meditation, and anyway we'll get into it and just see where we get to. So I'd like for everybody to have nice straight backs, right hand on the left with your thumbs just gently touching. Closing your eyes and closing your mouth, and just letting the tongue rest lightly against the palate. And just taking a few deeper breaths just to find yourself sitting in the way that you are. Then we'll just do a gentle sweep through the body, and just in a way that we can relax any tensions that are there. So as usual, I usually like to start at my feet, so if you can pick a toe, perhaps tonight pick your little toe. Just feel it in your socks or against the floor, or if you like, you can just give it a little wiggle so you can feel it. And just feeling your toes. And then letting your attention run over the arch of your foot and into your heels. Then up through your ankles into the lower part of your leg, the shins and the calves. And then where the knee bends, just making sure that all of that's quite comfortable. If you need to move, you can just gently move to relax any tension that might be there. And then moving up into your thighs, feeling your bottom on the seat. Maybe just stop to notice too how already you're starting to feel quite relaxed. Just by paying attention to the body a bit. And moving up into the tummy, the lower back, and up into the chest and the upper back. And when you're in here too, as part of this investigation, it's always good just to notice all the rhythms and the little rumbles and gurgles and little openings and closings that are happening in your body. You can probably even just notice the way that your chest is and your stomach is moving with your breath. The diaphragm moving. And then feeling down your arms, just the way they're hanging loosely by your sides, bent at the elbows, through the wrists and into the hands and the fingers. And again here, just noticing if there's any sensation around your fingers, which there usually is, with all of the energy that's there in the nerves. As I've mentioned sometimes, this is often a good segue into just noticing that effervescent energy, the fizzing energy that's really around all of your body all of the time, just that fizz of energy. And sort of notice it almost like it's like the relaxation doing a dance with your body as you just settle and relax. Let everything unravel. Then moving up into the neck and the head and your ears. Can you feel your ears? Behind your eyes, inside your head and at the top of your head. Just feel yourself sitting relaxed. And you can feel the way that the gravity is acting on your body, the way that it sort of pulls you very gently into your seat. It's working on all of your limbs. And you can start to get the idea that we are part of this earth, the way that the earth has its effect on us. Grounding us, earthing us. And then as you start to sort of look at this whole beautiful process, and start to really appreciate your body, the way that it's bringing you life. The beautiful breath flowing in and flowing out. It's a wondrous thing, full of wonder. Wonderful. And then you can even start to just imagine the way that you're connected also out into the space. Just even maybe reflecting on what effect the moon has on us, the sun. The sun is all powerful for us. But it's only one star in our universe. Then we can just start to relax and just let everything be and just come to the mind. And hopefully you'll find that the mind too is now already pretty relaxed. It relaxes with the body. With any sort of luck, you might even notice what it's like now just to see that your mind's quite still. Certainly might be hearing the words that I'm saying, but essentially it's just still and the words are just coming and going. And you might notice now, just even just with this much meditation, just to notice that now that the mind is still like this and not moving, you can know that any grasping or any desire is abated. It's not having the same experience on you as it normally might have. And equally, you can notice that you're quite okay too without any aversion, without sort of wanting to push anything away, just being totally one with the way your mind is right now, right here and now. And then you can start to notice that you start to know what contentment is. You can see the contentment that's there. The mind's not reaching out, and it's not trying to push away. Just very peaceful, very relaxed. Start to notice that natural tranquility. You might also now be noticing that your body and its energy has come into some sort of balance. There is awareness there, you're kind of awake and aware. You're not sleeping or tired. And equally, the restlessness that may have been there is abating. So you're starting to really coming to understand what contentment and balance is. And you might also start to notice that there's a kind of natural beauty in the subtlety of what we're looking at here. We're not grasping, we're not pushing away, we're nicely balanced. And we don't need to be doubtful at all about this, because we can notice, we can know what this feels like. Beyond any doubt. You can start to notice what this stillness feels like. Experience what this stillness is. Very beautiful. You start to see the balance. And how moving to this point of balance is so powerful. It gives us an inclination to want to absorb deeper into it, to go deeper into the stillness. With awareness and equanimity. With contentment. So right here we are starting to practice the second, third, and fourth factors of enlightenment. Investigation, where developing balanced energy. Noticing the rapture and the joy and the beauty. It is right there. We can also start to notice the tranquility that's becoming apparent. Very natural. And as we're absorbing deeper into the stillness, we're starting to see what it is to concentrate. To have what the Pali word for this is samadhi, what that samadhi is, the way that we can concentrate. So all this that brings about this equanimity. So these last three are the fifth, sixth, and seventh factors. Of practicing this path to enlightenment. Tranquil mind, a concentrated mind, and an equanimous mind. All in this wonderful balance of the first factor, which is just mindfulness. And then all these factors then start to build a foundation for wisdom, for insight. We're starting to find a place where we're not lost, a place inside our mind. Rather than being caught in the movements and the extremes of desires and aversions, the extremes of all the dualities that are available in the world, that we're pulling back to see where all of this comes to rest. Right in the contentment of our mind. Just noticing how we can absorb into this stillness. This beauty. We're not lost in the passions of our life. And the more that we come to understand the stillness, we realize that we can use it as a datum. A point of reflection so that we can be involved in the passion of our lives without being lost in it. Because we start to get the insight and the understanding that right here in this present moment, right here in this mind, here and now, is where all of it, all of this begins and ends. So in a moment I'm going to ring the bell. And over the three times that it's resounding, I'd like you just to keep your eyes closed, but just to do a stock take, just to, first of all, if possible, just to bring that stillness back with you into this room. Perhaps even just notice how the still consciousness works with the five senses. To keep the stillness there as a datum point, a place to reflect from. And then at the end of the three resonances, you can just open your eyes and come back to the room. Well, I hope everybody here had a chance to notice what it's like to have a still mind. Can you experience it now? Is it still there for you? And Ajahn Chah was talked about knowing the apparent and knowing the transcendent. And now that we're back into the room, finished with the meditation for the time, we can know what's apparent in this room and what's apparent normally in the world. But if the stillness is there for you, you've also got a point of reflection of where the transcendent is. Where what it is that allows us to transcend our lives, find truth, to see where the truth is. As I say, this is not really an easy kind of thing to understand. It's something really that seems to just come about with practice, and just with this gentle inclination towards the Buddha's teachings, understanding what he was pointing to, and just this question tonight of investigation, just really how important I think that is. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about looking at the 32 parts of the body, and I don't really remember them all offhand, but I know that there's hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth and skin. And you can sort of look at maybe those first five and then on into all the other ones that the Buddha talked about. And, you know, no doubt if there had been more of a scientific basis in his time, he might have had some more things that were more apparent. But what he was noticing, though, I think when he was talking about this, is the way that all these things have their own reality in a way. our hair, the hair of the head, the hair of the body, the nails, the teeth, the skin, but then coming inside to the other parts, the sinews and the bone and the bone marrow and all of the other parts of your body, parts of your body that, well, some, you know, as I was mentioning on that evening, I think, you know, just when you cut your fingernails, you know, and you leave the clippings, that's not really anything that you're really looking to say, well, that's me. It's certainly Dennis's clipping, but I wouldn't think of that as Dennis, the clipping. And you can look at all of this, look at the 32 parts of the body like that in the way that he was pointing to investigate. And you do start to see that they are kind of, all of these things are like wheels within wheels, things that are, that condition, that begin a conditioning process that are dependent on what's gone before. Just in the way that we have evolved in this earth, we are all dependent on what's been gone before in this earth. The way that the way that we use our evolution, and probably the reason why, you know, we maybe think that we're on top of the food chain here, but the animals too are all the same. You see the way that the animals' lives come about and the way that they live them all through this evolution, through this little process of wheels within wheels, things that start off quite simple and then compound into something that's quite complex, the complexity of this body. Just noticing what that was like at the beginning there as we looked into this, the way that it's all working, all the tissues and the sinews and the blood and everything's moving, and it's just an absolute wonder, isn't it? It's wonderful. And it's just quite a beautiful thing, and something that we can be really gracious and grateful for as well. Just the fact that these bodies of ours keep us alive, and they do this apparently, you know, like, well, for me now, 72 years, this heart's been beating. So I'm really grateful that it is still beating, grateful that the breath still goes in and conditions itself to come out again. It's just beautiful that the breath does go out, beautiful that the breath comes in, but it can't stay in, it's got to go out. It's conditioned to go out, and each beat of my heart is, each beat's conditioning the next beat. So we've got all these things happening, these wheels within wheels that sort of move and shift and create these lives that we're living. But it's only really when we stop and kind of look with investigation, as the Buddha talks about here, the second factor of this, of the factors of enlightenment, just to investigate, notice what it is that we're involved in. But also with what the Buddha talked about, just this wondrous nature of us being able to evolve to the point where we've got self-reflection happening. Our brains are such that we can self-reflect, we can notice these things. Some animals aren't quite there yet, you know, they're not quite able to self-reflect, or so we think anyway. I'm not really quite sure. I think, you know, we might underestimate animals quite a bit. But by and large, as human beings, we have got this ability to self-reflect, to notice ourselves, to be able to understand the Buddha's teachings here, and the Buddha's sort of pointing us right to the heart of this present moment, to truth. And what does all that mean? And each of us must kind of look at all of this for ourselves, each one for ourselves, because it's not something that anyone else can do for you. You know, Ajahn Brahm can't make you enlightened. He can certainly point the way, but to be enlightened, we've got to do that for ourselves. We've got to understand for ourselves. But what a wonderful thing it is that we've got this teaching, we've got this ability to practice and to incline that way, incline towards peace, true peace. So we notice I've already moved past the time that I'm supposed to talk to, so I'll maybe leave my comments there and thank you all for your patient listening, and certainly invite you all to come over. I know Ron, I've just saw him before dishing out some wonderful things over there, nice biscuits and chips and dishes, and we've got a nice cup of tea over there, and we can continue the conversation and sort of learn about each other a bit over in the Vihara, in the kitchen at the Vihara. So we'll end the night, if you like, just by paying respects to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. And then I hope that you can join us for a cup of tea.